Philippians chapter 2, verse number 17. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the mountain that we're climbing this month, dear Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, as we continue the climb, we continue with the theme, dear God, of complete sacrifice, that you'll help us, Lord, to, Lord, understand more and more about it and continue to live it out here, we pray, at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We have I'm going to kind of be honest with you, I'm going to be kind of sad when December comes. I've enjoyed just this, give me this mountain theme. I've enjoyed taking 12 subjects and just taking up 12 mountains and say, let's climb it together, church. And you folks have been great about it, participating in it. And it just seems like that we'll take a theme and the entire month will revolve around that theme. And many of our special music folks are trying to make sure they're picking music out that kind of goes with it. Brother Bud, somewhere along the line, found this Give Me This Mountain song, and I love hearing that. And it's just been good that our church has kind of participated in this. And this month, the month of September, we want to climb the mountain of complete sacrifice. And we focused it on the story of Abraham climbing the mountain to offer Isaac his son. And we spent the last two Wednesday nights basically on that story and on that theme. And it seems like you can't preach on sacrifice without preaching on altars. Because, folks, you know what? An altar is where the sacrifice is laid. And I want to talk about tonight this subject, the altar of ministry, the altar of ministry. A couple, 3 years ago, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago, I had the privilege of teaching all the way through, verse by verse, Philippians. And what a book. What an amazing book. And I was pleasantly surprised as I was just making my way through it, as I got to the middle of Philippians chapter 2, and God just opened up in a new way for me, in a sweet way for me, verses 17 and verse number 18. A couple of verses, if you're not careful, it's just easy to read past. Seems like that Paul just pauses here, makes some personal comments. But we remember and are reminded that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And so I want to talk about this matter of ministry and the altar that is involved in ministry. Verse number 17, yea, this is what Paul said under inspiration of Scripture. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Now, stay with me here because I want you to understand this. This is a good question. What is ministry? What is ministry? What does it mean to be in the ministry? Sometimes we hear that phrase and we think, well, that's talking about a preacher or an evangelist. And yet, anybody that showed up at Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning and looked around and paid attention would understand that it wasn't people, just people in full-time Christian work that was involved in ministry this morning. An entire church had gathered together and was involved in ministry. So let's stop a minute. Let's back up. I think if you're going to properly identify ministry, you're going to understand the altar that's involved in ministry, that you have to understand some things about ministry. Number one is the attitude of ministry. The attitude of ministry. Preacher, what is ministry and what does it produce? Ministry occurs, think about this verse. Ministry occurs when an individual or a group is willing to offer themselves upon the sacrifice and service of someone else's faith. We talked about altar, okay? We talked about altars. We talked about bringing your Isaac and laying it on an altar. We talked about bringing yourself and laying yourself upon an altar, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But you know what, folks? There's also the altar of the sacrifice and service of someone else's faith. And so I want you to imagine that here's a person and they have an altar. And they're waiting for a sacrifice. And you know what? Once again, we become that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is our reasonable service. You see, ministry, watch this, ministry is when you as an individual or a church gets together as a group and we willingly offer ourselves upon the sacrifice and service of someone else's faith. Preacher, what is ministry? Ministry is sacrifice. Ministry is service. Let me say it again. Ministry is sacrifice. Ministry is service. If you're not involved in sacrifice, you're not involved in service, you're not involved in ministry, not Bible ministry. And so ministry is offering, the act of offering yourself as a living sacrifice to serve someone else and benefit, not your faith, but to benefit their faith. It's sacrificing your time. By the way, since time is life, sacrificing a portion of your life for the good and benefit of someone else. Ministry is living for others. Sacrifice and service to others. By the way, Blessed Hope Baptist Church here has introduced the concept of it to our young people as they begin to grow up. I mean, the time they get to seventh grade. One of the things I like to say is, you know what, when the young people come into seventh grade, I say, have you enjoyed studying and learning and being taught? Good. You're going to continue to do that, but you're also going to get busy. And you know what? We have our young people today, almost every single one of our teenagers that are regular and faithful teenagers here, if you looked around today, you found them involved in ministry this morning. Many of them are involved in ministry this evening. Some will be involved in ministry Wednesday. Others will be involved in ministry during the week. You know what, folks? We want to introduce this idea early on, early on. Now, I think there's a lot of ingredients that make a church great. I don't know what the greatest church in America is or where it is or who it is, but I can tell you this, they don't know it. All right? Any church that thinks they are pretty much have disqualified themselves from being. I think we'll get to heaven one of these days. The great churches are going to be churches that most of us have never heard about. And just undiscovered little groups of people following a pastor who follows the Lord and offers themselves every single week upon the altar of sacrifice and service for the benefit of others. As I mentioned the minute ago, folks, listen, it's good to be a little tired on Sunday night, amen? I mean, a church that's busy, everybody's a little tired on Sunday night. That's a good thing. We ought to be, because you know what? We just don't come here for us. We come here to serve others. Young people, as I mentioned, I'm glad we initiate them early. We get them busy early. Teen soul winning, nursing home ministry opportunities. This is what young people are doing. Widows care, bus ministry, children's ministry, choir, singing groups, instrumental, helping with the mow the yard. By the way, folks, that's ministry. Do you understand? That's ministry, okay? Work days, banquet decoration, showers, weddings, helps in funerals, food preparation, teen soul winning, media work, website, missions giving, missionary communication, missions trips, moving chairs, and moving tables, and moving some more chairs. These opportunities, preacher, why? Why do we involve our young people in these things early so that when they grow up, they just kind of think that that's normal church? You know why? Because it's supposed to be normal church. And by the way, these opportunities produce joy and rejoicing. Did you see that? Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I whine and complain about it. That's not what the Bible says. Look right up here. I can tell you this. Hey, like I said, I've been doing this a little bit of time now. I've watched. I've had a front row seat to the ministry most of my life. The happiest people are the serving people. Normally, in most churches, the people that do the most whining and the most complaining are the people that are doing the least amount of service. You get folks busy serving, and you know what? There's a joy that comes with it. There's a rejoicing that comes with it. I mean, folks, I was watching our congregation. We had the invitation this morning, and we had 8 adults and 2 teenagers walk the aisle, and some of them got saved, and some of them got the assurance of their salvation, but they left here knowing 100% sure that they were on their way to heaven. That's what it's about. And what's fun to watch is not just what's going on up here. What's fun to watch is the glow in the congregation. I mean, you could just tell. It was like, preacher, are you kidding me? You know what? I'm tired, but this makes it worth it. We had a young couple come this morning. Let me just give you one story, and I promise you by the time this all shakes out, there's so many stories, but there was a young couple by the last name of Hope that came to our young adult class this morning. And by the way, we had 54 in our young adult class. Had a crisis, by the way, a crisis an auditorium class, I want you to understand we're suffering out there. We had a crisis. We ran out of donuts. We had so many people. I know. Pray for us, you know. Pray about that. That's disturbing when those kind of things happen, you know. I almost couldn't teach. I just almost walked out and said, I can't function. No, I can't do this. But I went on for God and just stayed in the saddle there. But just an exciting thing. And you know what? To watch those young couples that are coming and have been coming, beginning to bring other young couples. And so many exciting things. But this one couple, Brother Jeffrey, what's their first names again? Danny and Ashley. Let me just kind of show you, because I want the church to understand, folks, it takes everybody. Okay? On Team Soul Winning down in Sanborn last spring, we're just knocking on doors. And you know what? Some of Mrs., I think it was Rita Weddle, and another teenager, she was with a teenager. And by the way, here's an adult that rearranges their schedule and comes to help us out so that we can have Team Soul Winning, okay? And she's out there helping me watch over the kids and knock on doors. And they meet this family that just moved here from Las Vegas. They used to live in California. They moved to Las Vegas. Then they moved to Sanborn. Can you imagine? Wow. Must have been physically shocking to land in Sanborn. But hey, you know what? God took them a long way, brought them a long way so that they could find Jesus. And guess what? There they are, young people. Remember one of those hot days in Sanborn? Remember when I pulled the bus over before we got out in Sanborn? I looked up and said, young people, I know we do this every week and it's easy to get in a rut, but I want you to listen to me. God could very well have designed for us today a divine appointment. And we don't know where these people are. And the only way to dig them out is just go out there and knock on doors. So everybody you meet, you just don't know if they might be the next this or the next this. Remember I gave that, and we got out and began to knock on doors. And Sister Rita Weddle was with one of our teenagers and met this new family, just met this, moved in, signed the kids up as prospects. By the way, we turned the information over to the bus captain. Bus workers then begin to work on this family. And finally get them to come. They start coming on a regular basis. And then they start missing a little bit. And then they work on them. They start coming back. And you know, over the summer, come on, bus workers, over the summer, it's hard to keep people faithful. But guess what? Those kids got mom and dad to come to the church this morning. And they sat out in our young adult class and got to hear the gospel. They walked in here. And by the way, young adults, thank you so much. I mean, I wish folks, I don't know how to say it except you know what? We can't do this without everybody. It takes everybody. It's not a matter of just getting somebody in the door. It's a matter of how they are treated once they come in the door and the way that people go to them and our young adults reaching out and getting to know these folks and, hey, come step with me and tell me who you are and all of this. And then that young couple raises their hand during the invitation this morning, walks the aisle and gets saved this morning. And I'm thinking of everybody from whoever tithed and gave offerings so we could put fuel in a bus so that we could take teens out. Are you understanding this, folks? It takes everybody working together. I like that story because it's not just one ministry or one person or one. It's a church reaching out to people. And by the way, we're not done ministering to them. This isn't the end of it. This is the beginning, in a sense. Because now, to be able to reach out to them and disciple them and try to help get their family in. And what I'm saying is, you know what? If Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we're not a perfect church, but if I feel like we kind of get something for the most part, it's this. We understand. I'm not saying my staff understands. I'm saying y'all understand that ministry is offering yourself upon the sacrifice and service of somebody else's faith. And there's a lot of things we do that we don't do for our benefit. We do to help people get to Jesus Christ, and once they are saved, to grow in grace and knowledge. And folks, we cannot lose that ministry mentality here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You ought to write this down. I don't hardly ever say this, but somewhere in your Bible, you ought to write this down. Every Christian either has a ministry mentality or a minister to me mentality. Every Christian either has a ministry mentality or a minister to me mentality. One brings joy. The other brings frustration. One is spiritual. The other is selfish. One brings blessing and encouragement to a church. The other brings strife and confusion. A ministry mentality achieves the ultimate goal of the Christian life. It produces Christ-likeness. Jesus came to give Himself a ransom for many. He climbed upon the ultimate altar and gave the ultimate price so that me and you could be brought to salvation. How can we claim Christ-likeness and come and sit in church and be a pew bump? How can we do that? You know, if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be involved in ministry. It produces Christ-likeness. A minister-to-me mentality achieves nothing and undermines the unity and effectiveness of the body of Christ. A ministry mentality is rewarded. God sees that we all reap what we sow. The joy that we experience through sacrifice and service is contagious. Others want to be involved. So as you sacrifice and serve others, soon they learn to sacrifice and serve also. Some of the way that comes back to you. It's not the goal, but God promises fringe benefits, that there's a fringe benefit of serving others. Notice what it says in verse 18. I wanted to read the two verses together. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Now here's what is neat about this wonderful relationship that Paul had with the church there in Philippi. Paul went there with a ministry mentality. And as he ministered to these people, they learned and adopted a ministry mentality. You have a preacher that is ministering to a people and a people that's ministering to a preacher. And you know what? He said, I get joy and rejoicing because I'm sacrificing for you, and you get an element of joy and rejoicing because you're sacrificing to take care of me, and you've learned to take this concept and reach out and serve others. And you know what? That's why if you read the book of Philippians, you don't see Paul having to deal with too many negative things. You know why? They got it. This isn't about us. It's about a lost and dying world. This isn't about, hey, let me show up this week and see if I can find something to get my feelings hurt about. It's about, hey, let's die to self. Let's lay aside me. Let's go give ourselves to somebody else. Let's serve somebody else. And folks, the happiest and most joyful people in the world are ones that are lost in this matter of ministry. They discover the altar of ministry on a regular basis. They climb upon that altar and offer themselves upon the sacrifice and service of somebody else. We see the attitude of ministry. We see the arena of ministry. I'm going to kind of broaden your horizons a little bit because I think as young people come up through our system, they get involved in ministry opportunities. And we give them chances to, for a little while, okay, at this time on Wednesday, we're going to climb upon the altar of the sacrifice and service of the lost people in this area, and we're going to go out there and we're going to try to reach people for Jesus. Hey, young ladies, by the way, our young ladies do a great job on this. You get to, every once in a while, as you're rotated through on the schedule, you know what? You get to go into the nursery and offer yourself on the altar of the sacrifice and service of those little precious ones. And by the way, you're not only a blessing to them babies, you're a blessing to moms and dads that have an opportunity to come in and know that their children are well taken care of and can be fed and focused on the preaching of the Bible. And then children's opportunities. Hey, I need some help in Master's Club. I need some... Oh, what are you doing? Now, watch this. I'm going to teach you something here. We're starting introducing to you a mentality. And so what most Christians do is they begin to be involved in ministry in specific time slots and opportunities. Now watch with me. But the goal is not for you to just have a ministry mentality for 30 minutes here, 45 minutes here, an hour here, 2 hours on Wednesday, and the rest of your life go back to selfish mode. The idea and the goal is to begin to adopt a life of ministry. A life of ministry. See, if we're not careful, we think, okay, what ministry am I involved with in the church? And by the way, I think everybody will be involved in some ministry in the church. But let me just teach you something. Watch this. Your home is a ministry. No, that's where I go to be selfish. No. No, let's not turn on and off the Christ. You know, the happiest homes, the homes that have the most joy and the most rejoicing, are homes where they have a ministry mentality. Okay? Moms look around at the home and they look at their husband and they say, I'm going to offer myself upon the sacrifice of service for the benefit of my husband. Husbands look at their wives and say, I'm going to offer myself upon the sacrifice of service upon the altar of her faith. What can I do to help her out? Parents that have a ministry mentality when it comes to their children, what can I do? How can we offer ourselves? What do we need to do in this matter of sacrifice and service for their benefit? Watch this. Children who all of a sudden get to the age where they get to maturity and they look and say, you know what? Hey, this whole thing isn't about what everybody in this family can do for me, but what can I do to help my mother? What can I do to help my father? What can I do to lighten their load a little bit and take some burden off them? Young men that begin to grow up and say, hey, man, it's clicking now. Dad's out there working all these hours and he's gone a lot and he's doing that so that I got have a roof over my head and I've got food on my plate. And hey, you know what? Why don't I step up? And what can I do so that when he gets to come home finally, he doesn't have to spend another 40 hours around here doing things that I should be doing? You know what that's called? A ministry mentality. It's not just whose week is it in the nursery or what your teenagers rotated down in Mrs. Walton's class. Or, hey, you know what? Ministry becomes a mentality. The arena of ministry broadens. You ought to view your home as a ministry. You ought to view your church as a ministry. Well, preacher, you know what? I do serve in the church, and I serve for this hour, and so I go into service mode for this hour and this time frame while I'm at church. Now, wait a minute. What are you doing the rest of the time you're at church? Folks, listen to me. The difference between somebody that has adopted ministry as a lifestyle and they have broadened the arena of what that means in their life is that, listen, there's no on and off switch. From the time I show up onto the property till I leave, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking for an opportunity to sacrifice myself upon to offer myself upon the sacrifice and service to somebody else's faith. All right? You know what ministry is? Ministry is handshaking time. Ministry happens before the service. Ministry is not just sitting there because you're tired or exhausted and, you know, you've got your pad of paper and you're going to write down the names of people who did or did not come shake your hand, you know. Ministry is getting up and going out there and finding people and loving people and introducing yourself. Hey, you know what ministry is? Ministry, hey, young people, ministry is watching some teenage girls that never been here before walk through that back door right there and look around like, how in the world did I get here? And I don't even know where to go. And I don't know if I'll ever come back here. And I don't know anybody. And you know how much courage it takes for a young person to just get on a bus and come to church where they've never been before? You know what ministry is? Ministry is enjoying your friends. But it's not enjoying your friends so much that you forget that, hey, there's a potential future friend that just walked through that door. And you know what? They probably need my friendship more than the people that I see all the time. So I'll just go back and latch onto them a little bit and get, hey, what's your name? Where are you from? Hey, do you even know where you're going? No, somebody, you know, said that I could see a lion. So I don't even know why I'm here, you know. And well, come sit with us. Let me introduce, are you hearing this? This isn't just for teenagers. Children, are you listening to me? I'm talking about children in this church that get a ministry mentality. I'm talking about fifth graders, you can do this. Fourth graders, you can do this. Third graders, you can do this. Second graders can do this. You can look around for people that are coming in the door that are new and say, I've never seen them before. I'm going to go over there. Hey, it doesn't take much just to go over and introduce yourself and say, hey, would you want to sit with me in Sunday school? And hey, afterwards, I'll show you where we're going to children's church and make people get back on that bus and go home and say, hey, I want to come back there. People care about me. I've got some friends there. That's what ministry is. Ministry is not an off and on switch. Ministry becomes a lifestyle. I want you to begin to see the world as a ministry. The arena of ministry is as broad as the life that you live. I mean, folks, it ought not to turn off. It's not what you do. It becomes who you are. I walk into Casey's. I'm serving in the ministry. I stop at a gas station. I'm serving in the ministry. I go into Dollar General. I'm in the ministry. What are you talking about? I'm talking about I'm going to offer myself while I'm there upon the sacrifice and service of somebody else's faith. I'm going to be friendly. I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to look for an opportunity. Somebody struggled a little bit with something. Can I hold the door here? Can I help somebody there? Somebody the other day was in Dollar General and she bought two carts worth. And I came to the thing just about the time she was trying. You ever try to get through a door that is not automatic with two carts? And I happened to open it up and there she was. Man, I would say, preacher, what'd you do? I grabbed the front of the cart And I pulled it through it. I held the door. I said, let me take this one. And she went to her car, and I took the other car to my car. And just for a moment, I went into minister to me mode. And then I thought, no, this is wrong. And I took her car, and I took her stuff to her car. And you say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about folks. They go, well, you're bragging. No, I'm living. It's not bragging, it's living. You know, I'm going to change. Listen, it can change the way you view life. Okay? Somewhere out there this week, there's all kinds of opportunities to offer yourself upon this altar of the sacrifice service, somebody else's faith. By the way, by the time I helped her get things loaded and got her carts back and all of this, and she was an older lady. I think she was like 54 or something like that. I was able to pull one of our I Love America cards out and said, hey, let me tell you about something that's going on, tell you who I am. And man, I'd love to have you come to this service. And she accepted that warmly. And I don't know if we'll see her or not, but folks, ministry doesn't turn on and off. Gentlemen, listen to me. When you go to work tomorrow, you don't work where you work by accident. And I believe you got to look at your workplace as a mission field. I think you got to look at your neighborhood as a mission field. I think you have the neighbors that you have for a reason. I think your family you got to look for. What I'm saying is this, a ministry mentality is, Lord, show me opportunities. Who do we serve, preacher? We serve the lost of this area. They're a ministry to us. We want to get the gospel to them. Well, preacher, where else do we serve? We serve here in the local assembly, serving one another. Jesus said, hey, if I, being the Son of God, if I washed your feet, you go wash somebody else's feet. It's a matter of ministry. Not walking into the church saying, somebody needs to do something for me, but what can I do for somebody else? Everyone we can influence along life's path is a ministry opportunity. And as you grow in ministry, as you gain experience, you learn to witness, you learn to win the lost, you minister to the lost, pass out gospel tracts, share your testimony, share your salvation testimony whenever you can. We minister to our missionaries here. We minister to our staff churches. Our staff ministers to us, and as we minister to each other, I mean, it just becomes a wonderful thing, an amazing thing, where when there's an opportunity or there's a job around here, it's not a matter of trying to talk people into coming, but we ought to have a heart, folks, that when an opportunity comes, it's not, did we have enough people? It's what do we do with all the people that we have? And all of a sudden it just becomes, hey, if we got an opportunity, let's do it. Let's be a blessing to somebody. And so I wanted to, first of all, say tonight at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, thank you. Because, again, I'm not saying we're there 100%. But if I feel like, with all of my heart, that there's a church that kind of gets what I'm talking about tonight, it's easy to preach this message to, it's this church right here. Thank you for what you did today. Thank you for what you did in this past week. Thank you for the sacrifice. A lot of sacrifice went on of time. A lot of sacrifice has gone on of finances. I get that. Everybody that's helping in any arena, you have sacrificed and you've served for the benefit of somebody else. You know what? You enjoyed this morning. And it was a blessing to you. And you know what? We've got opportunities in the weeks ahead to do the same. Let's just continue to climb up on the altar and offer ourselves upon the sacrifice of service, somebody else's faith. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for what we were able to experience and have been experiencing here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. May we continue, dear God, please, always, Lord, to look for that altar and the opportunity to sacrifice ourselves for someone else. Thank you, Lord, for the joy that, Lord, comes to the hearts of those who just learn to serve. And, Lord, boy, I've had a good time today, and it's been fun. Just stopping and saying, how are you doing? What you need? What you looking for? Can I help you with something? Let me get you where you need to get to. Let me introduce you to somebody. What's your name? Well, we're glad to have you here. What a blessing, Lord, just to walk around and getting to know people. And then, Lord, as a pastor, looking here and there and yonder, watching people head off this direction, busy over here, running this part of the ministry, serving in this part of the ministry, organizing this, organizing that, making sure everybody's taken care of. Lord, may we never, ever, Lord, lose the heart of ministry here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, dear God. Help us to do it more and more. And Lord, thank you for the joy that it brings. Bless the invitation. We pray in Jesus' name.